All right, the enemy. We got to prepare for him. Got to prepare to meet him. Of course, we're in Ephesians again, chapter 6. We'll be there for a while. Ephesians chapter 6. And, I guess we won't read the whole thing tonight. Kind of familiar with it. We may read it, time and again, just to remind you what's in there. Tonight, we're not going to do that. We'll just read verses 10 and 11 and take it from there. Okay. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Well, Paul makes no bones about it. You are in a war, and the Christian life is one of warfare, like it or not. I know that's probably not something we really, are excited about thinking about. We're always in a war. We're always in a fight, but that is our reality. You have to get out of bed every single morning of your life with that kind of a mentality. If you don't do that, chances you are surviving the day are pretty nil, because Satan is a pretty powerful foe, and he loves surprise attacks. He loves guerrilla warfare. That's his favorite kind of warfare, and he's a professional at it. Your wife, your husband, your boss, your coworker, your friends, your best friend, aunts, uncles, cousins, everything you own is subject to being used by Satan and attacking you. He just is. And here's a two-sided, two-edged sword. The other edge of the sword is not only does Satan use others to attack you, he'll use you to attack others. You can be an instrument in his hand. We always think, I'm going to be attacked. Well, don't forget, you can be used against other people to bring them pain and misery and suffering as well. That's another way that Satan attacks us. And so we have to be aware of both sides, both ways that the sword is going to cut. You don't get the pleasure of getting even. Sometimes I don't know. Judy's not here. You always hate to use those personal things. Let me just make a general observation about marriage.
We wouldn't
fail. Yeah, right, sure. Let me make a general observation here about married life. Okay, it kind of goes like this. Something is said rather directly and probably a little bit harshly and maybe with a little bitterness. Okay, one spouse to the other. Well, things kind of get through that and you kind of rock along day or two, something like that later. And you're kind of you're just talking with one another. And all of a sudden, the spouse that got it, the person who got their feelings hurt, spouts off with this really sharp, bitter, that comes out of nowhere. Boom. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, where'd that come from? Right? How did that happen? And then your mind kind of drifts back. Oh, 2 days earlier, you said something. You see? And now they're kind of getting even, or you're getting even, whichever way it goes. You kind of let a couple of days go by, 3 days go by. Could be even a week. And it comes out. And that desire to get even, because you haven't really forgiven the person. And it just works up within you and just automatically comes out in this particular situation. Satan likes that. He uses those kinds of things to keep us agitated and to keep us irritated in our relationship with each other. Well, what I hope to accomplish over the next few weeks is to make us aware that we're constantly, always, continually under attack. And I don't want you to go to sleep. You cannot afford to go to sleep. You know, Peter said that Satan is like a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. And what he's trying to say is there, you need to be alert. You cannot afford to be dozing off because you're in a war. And oftentimes we doze off through just the everyday activities of life. We fill our time with entertainment, or we fill our time with work, or we fill our time with fun things and our jobs, and we fail to live in a way that really pleases God. We're not alert to doing that. And the sleeping here that I'm talking about is not a literal sleeping, but it's sleeping in the sense that we just get preoccupied with worldliness. Okay? That's the kind of sleeping. That's when Satan can attack us the most. And Paul is warning us, don't go to sleep on the job. So we started last week at verse 10, and Paul immediately puts the onus on us in verse 10, and he tells us here in verse 10, you remember, that we are to put on, we are to be strong in the Lord. This is something that we are to do. Notice here that he doesn't command the Lord to make us strong. The Lord is not going to make you strong against your will. You have to choose this option, okay? This is something that you have to personally be conscious of doing. He's not going to make you strong against your will. You have to initiate this. Now, that also implies that you're submitting to the Lord. When you be strong in the Lord, there's an implication there that you're bowing to the Lord's will. This is what you know the Lord wants you to do. And so you're going to be strong in the Lord as an act of obedience to Him. So there is a degree of submission going on in the command here for us to be strong in the Lord. The Lord's way of operating in your life always is in submission. But that's the way the Lord operates, is through submission. Why is submission so important? Because nothing manifests love greater than submission. Nothing manifests love greater than submission. And so when we're submitting to the Lord, we're expressing the greatest attribute that we possibly can to God, and that is that we love Him. Men are going to rule by force. God is going to rule in your life by submission and love. Now, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not. I think there's a sense in which the Bible teaches us that Satan copycats this principle of ruling by love. You see, what do you mean? Because in the Bible, it says this. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness. The Bible says that. Men loved darkness. This is how Satan rules. He rules by their love of darkness. And it goes on and says, their deeds were evil. We look at the world today. You know, you go home tonight, you look at the 9 o'clock news or the 10 o'clock news, and you see what's going on in our world today as a whole, in our culture in particular. And I say to myself, what are these people doing? Why are these people acting like this? They're on a path of destruction, and they're going to destroy themselves as they keep going down this path. Why is the world acting like it's acting? Because the Bible says, men loved the darkness. They loved the darkness. Until men come to the point where they're willing to confess that and repent of that, they're going to stay on the path of darkness. They're not going to get off of it. They're not going to get off of us. So, we are to love and obey out of love, and we put on our armor out of obedience and love for our Savior. Now, the strengthening here is not physical strengthening that's talking about. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, but He's not talking about a physical thing here, obviously, because we're talking about a spiritual context. And so what He's talking about here is being spiritually strong in the Lord. Well, what does it mean? What does it look like for you to be spiritually strong. What does a spiritually strong person look like? He tells us that this is what we're supposed to do. But if you look at somebody, how can you tell if they're strengthening themselves in the Lord? How do you know that? What are they doing? How are they displaying that? I equate this with the short view or the short definition, which is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things Satan does not want you demonstrating any of that. None. A person who's strong in the Lord, who's spiritually strong, these are the characteristics that they are going to manifest at all times. At all times. And that's just a short list. Just a short list. So we go on to verse 11. And Paul says, verse 11. He says, put on the full armor of God. So he says in verse 10, you need to be strong in the strength of the Lord. He comes back in verse 11 and he says, hey, look, now you need to put on the full armor of God. Why? Because being strong in the Lord is not going to be enough for your battle. Just being strong in the Lord, being strong in the strength of the Lord is not going to be enough. You can be as strong as an ox. You could be Mr. Atlas. You can look like the character on Mr. Clean, you know. You can go out, exercise, your body can be ripped. But if you go into a battle, even though you're the strongest, biggest, meanest man out there on the battlefield, and you don't have your armor on, you're going to be whooped. You just are. And so Paul says, look, it's not enough to be strong. You need to put on the armor. You don't go out into war in your underwear. You're going to lose if you do that. You put on every piece of armor that you can possibly get. And that's what Paul is saying here. Put it on. Put on put on the full armor of God. You dress for the occasion. If it's 20 degrees outside, you put your coat on. You get ready. If you're going to work, you don't put on your swimming trunks. You dress like you're going to work. You get ready for the occasion. You're going to war. You need to put on the full armor of God. You know, I don't know about you, but my short experience of life, getting shorter, I have seen men that I considered to be just giants in the spiritual world. I've seen men that were great pastors, great men of God, great preachers of the Word of God. And I looked at them and they were so powerful, so big in the things of God. And then they fall. They have an indiscretion. I looked at these men and I thought, these guys are invincible. But something happened. Something happened and they fell. An immoral thing happened in their life. They fell. And I'm looking at them, I'm scratching my head. How can that be? It happened because they were strong in the Lord. But they didn't put on the armor. They were trying to fight the battle, but they did it without the armor. That's how important the armor is. You're not going to stand, Paul says, unless you've got the armor. Don't be foolish enough to go out without the armor. That's what he says. Let's go back to the verse. Put on. Two words. There's no mystery here. It says exactly what it means. Put it on. Just like you would any other piece of clothing, you need to get dressed, spiritually speaking. And again, did you notice here he said, put on? He didn't say, the Lord is your butler and he's going to dress you. No, no, no. He didn't say, the Lord is your maid, and so when you get up in the morning, He's going to dress you. The Lord is not going to put the armor on you. Okay? Again, the onus is on you. You have to make a conscious choice. You say to yourself, I am going to do this. That's what He's saying here. It is a command. Nobody's going to dress you for the battle. Okay? You've got to dress yourself. You say, well, what's going to motivate you? What is going to motivate you to put on the full armor of God? What is going to, you get up tomorrow morning, what is going to motivate you to do that? Because, you know, putting on armor is a difficult thing to do. Well, let me ask you this. What motivates a police person to put on his bulletproof vest? He's going to go to work. What motivates him to put on that heavy, uncomfortable vest and wear it? You know what? Partially he's motivated because of the love of his family, but he also knows this. He knows that when he goes out there in his uniform, that there are bad people out there who are going to shoot him. He knows as a fact because it may have happened to somebody that he knows. He's seen it in the news. Whatever the case may be, he knows that the reality of the battle is there, and he knows the reality is he might get shot at tonight, and he needs to be prepared for it. And when you get up tomorrow morning, you need to get out of bed, and you need to know you probably are going to get shot at. You need to think that. And that will help you to motivate you to put on the armor. Put it on. And then notice what he says. He says, put on the full armor. How much armor are you supposed to wear? You're just supposed to put on part of the armor? No, that's what he said there. He said you have to put on the full armor. Each piece has to be put on. How much are you going to wear? You're going to wear it all. You're going to wear it all. Okay? The full armor. And the Greek word there, panoplia, means wholly armored and refers to the complete set of instruments used in offensive and defensive war. And then he goes on. He says, here's the full armor. You put on the girdle, you put on the breastplate, you put on your foot protection, you put on the shield, or you take up the shield, you put on the helmet, you take in hand the sword, and then you pray. You're not prepared for battle unless you've got every piece on. That's it. Every piece counts. If you're going to war and you inspect somebody going to war and you look at them and you see that you make sure that they have all the armor on. If there's a piece missing, you point that out. If somebody's looking out there inspecting you, they're looking at your armor, they point out that you're missing this particular piece of armor. Because they know that that is probably the place where you're going to get hit. Listen to me. Satan and the demons inspect you every morning. And they're looking to see which piece of armor you do not have on. They know. They know. Just like when you look at somebody and you see that they're missing a piece of their armor, just like you know that, the demons know what piece of armor you're missing. And they know where to attack you. They're not fools. They can see clearly. These guys, these demons, they mean business, folks. This is not a war game. Okay? This is not a war game. This is serious business. And they are out there to destroy you. And they are serious about destroying you. Because you represent everything that they hate. And everything that they cannot stand. You represent God. They can't stand God. They hate God. And they're going to do everything in their power to destroy you. You remember that incident that took place on the Mount of Temptation? Where Satan came to Jesus Christ. He's up on the Mount of Temptation for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan comes to the Lord, and he begins to attempt to tempt him. Okay, and he starts throwing every temptation at the Lord he can possibly think to throw at him, trying to find a chink in the Lord's armor. The devil is thinking, surely there's somewhere that Jesus is weak, and I can hit him. And I can hurt him and I can destroy him. Folks, That incident is played out every single day in your life. Don't think that the devil gave up on Jesus Christ after 40 days. Oh, I can't find a weakness in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think I'll just quit. No, he didn't do that. The Bible says he went away to find a better time. Every single day, folks, Jesus had to put on his armor. Jesus had to put on his armor. And every single day, you're going to have to put on your armor and be prepared to go to war. So then he says, put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand. So once you've donned your protective gear and you put on the full armor of God, he says you're empowered. Able. I like the word able there because it talks about being empowered to stand. In other words, you cannot do this if you don't wear the armor. You're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil is what he's saying here. This is something that only wearing the armor is going to enable you to do. See, the problem is not if you're going to be attacked. That is not the problem. You are going to be attacked, and the question is, when you are you going to be able to stand? Because that's what God wants you to do here. And, you know, you say, well, what does it mean to stand? What's involved in that? Do you ever notice that out of all of God's creation, that human beings are the only created creatures that stand upright? Now, I know you got the monkeys out there that kind of do it and stuff like that, but As far as what we normally do, God created human beings out of all of his creation to stand upright. And God didn't do that just because he thought it was a good idea. God did that to show the world, the rest of creation, that these human beings that I have made are righteous. We stand upright. That's indicative of a righteous position. That's how God created us to live. He created us to live righteously, to live upright. And that's what he's talking about here. We stand for righteousness. We stand against unrighteousness. That's the general idea of what's being revealed here. Righteousness. We say, well, can you be a little more specific about righteousness? Righteousness in a practical, and righteousness is kind of a theological word, but in a practical understanding of righteousness, it means that you're doing the will of God. You are doing the will of God. You are standing for the will of God. You're standing for the truth. You're standing for what God says is right. You're standing for what God says is moral. You know, folks, there are times when we need to defend the truth. Okay, I wish I was more apologetic, you know, able to, you know, to defend the truth better, more logical in defense of the truth. And there are times when you and I, we have to do that. We need to defend the truth. But let me tell you this. There are times when you just need to stand. No explanation. No defense. You just stand for what is right. You may not even understand how to defend it. Okay? That may be. But the idea is you know what is right. And you plant your flag there. You take your stand there. We know the truth. God created male and female. We know the truth about creation. This world did not evolve. God wants us to be truthful in all of our business affairs. That's where we stand. God wants us to be loving and kind. That's where we stand. God wants us to be just. God wants us to love those who persecute us. That is where we stand. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. That's where we stand. The world doesn't like that. They're opposed to that, but that's where we stand. Because that's what the Word of God says. We take our stand. Okay? We do. We don't join hands with heretical churches. We take our stand for the truth. And then finally he says this. So you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. What does that mean? It means there's going to be opposition. Okay? There's going to be active opposition against you. I have days when I lay my head down on my pillow and I say, God, does life really have to be this hard? Lord, can't things just be simple? Lord, does it always have to be a struggle every day? The answer is yes. Because we live in a devil-dominated world who's created a system that goes against everything you hold dear and precious and truthful. One of the greatest failures of God's people is they fail to understand that Satan and his little imps are planning and they're scheming and they're organizing things for your fall. And I can promise you, when you wake up tomorrow morning, they already have a plan for you. They do. They have a day planned to defeat you. And if you're not ready for it, you will fall. You're not going to stand. And you know how it usually starts? Don't you get tired of me saying this? It usually starts with your personal devotions and prayer time right in the morning. Here's what Warren Wiersbe wrote. The danger on the battlefield is that we do not take the enemy seriously and therefore fail to put on all the armor. By faith, you put on the armor through prayer, which must be done at the beginning of every day. Never underestimate the strategy and strength of the devil. Well said, Warren. Well said. I appreciate you being here tonight. I appreciate you being in God's house this evening and sharing together the Word of God. Anything else before we just...